Welcome. I hope you're having a festive day. You are listening to Provisions and Libations, and I am your host, Robin Bogue, on the Mission Matters Podcast Network. Today's topic is Death by Chocolate, a Valentine's Chocolate Day hangover, or anything you want to relate to having too much chocolate. So Valentine's Day just happened, and it's always a running joke is we're going to now celebrate the day after, so that way we can get half off our Valentine candies and stock up for a while. I thought that would be a great thing to do and actually try all of the different chocolates this year. Over the years, I've gotten Ferrero Rocher, as that is my kids' favorite chocolate. So I always just went straight for that. So that way I knew that they loved it. You could also go to See's Candy. You could buy the Russell Stover, Dove, Andes, Lindor Truffles, whatever you like. But you always know that you have that one favorite flavor that they all make, or that favorite, the way that they do it. Like the Andes mints, those have the mint flavor. Dove makes a milk chocolate truffle. When the Ferrero Rocher has hazelnut chips in their milk chocolate with a creamy filling. And then the Lindor truffles. This year, I ended up buying strawberries and cream because I thought, well, if I'm going to do a podcast about different chocolates, then I'm going to get a nice variety. And so the strawberries and cream, it had the milk white chocolate on the outside with the strawberry cream filling. And then, of course, the Russell Stover chocolates. Those were, it was a big heart. It was the biggest one that I had bought because I wanted a nice variety that had the toffees, the pecans, the caramels, the buttercream, the dark chocolate, the milk chocolate, almond clusters. So that way I feel like I actually tried every single type of chocolate that you could have for Valentine's. And that's why I call this podcast Death by Chocolate or the Chocolate Hangover, because in the last several days, I have been trying them every day just to see what they taste like. And every day I have been equally impressed with everything. I'm not a dark chocolate fan. I'm more of a milk chocolate lover. But I did try the dark chocolates because I had to be partial, even though I still ended up liking the milk chocolate better. That's just where my flavor profile is. So in this week of experimenting with the different chocolates, I wanted to share some information that I found while I was researching Valentine's Day and trying to figure out where did it exactly come from? Why did it start? Like, you know, some people don't celebrate it because they say it's a Hallmark holiday. And that's not really true. I just feel like, why not celebrate a day of love? You know, there's nothing wrong with it. The other thing, too, is it doesn't have to just be for a couple or a husband and a wife or two people that are in love with each other. It could be for friendships. I work at Primus Labs, and I actually was away this week in Salinas working in our Salinas lab. And one of my coworkers, Araceli, gave me a beautiful tin of milk chocolate truffles. And it was in a pink tin, and she also gave me a red rose. And I just thought that was the sweetest thing because she knew that I traveled up and was there for a week and was away from my family and friends for the holiday. She thought that it would be a kind gesture to share with me a little sweet something, which totally made my day because it just, when I walked in, it was at my desk and it just brightened the day. And everyone's like, oh, wow, you have a suitor. And I'm like, no, I have a bestie at work. And so it just made for fun, great conversation. And I was able to share my milk chocolate truffles with everyone that I worked with over the several days, because we were at a busy time. And if we were at a moment where we were like, oh gosh, we had a rush of intake of food processing for food safety, I was like, here, you need a little something to brighten your day. And I'd give them the really pretty pink wrapped milk chocolate truffle. And it was a fun thing to add to the week when I was there. So Araceli, if you're listening, thank you. So here, getting into a little bit of history on Valentine's Day. It is celebrated as the month of romance in February. And that's why they call it St. Valentine's Day. And then it became It's known today as a vestige of both Christian and ancient Roman traditions. It has multiple mysteries or myths about where it really actually came from. Was it really three different men named Valentine that were martyrs of the church, not following the rules of the king and doing what they wanted? And that's why they were beheaded. And that's actually one of the myths with a Valentine when the Emperor Claudius II decided that single men were better for the war. So he outlawed marriage. And so a Valentine ended up doing secret private weddings so that men could have, you know, marry their love and not be sent off to the war. So there's two different stories about that. There's also in Italy, there's some stories about a pagan festive festival where they slaughtered a goat and a dog, one for purity and one for fertility. And then they would take the skins of the animals and then take that out into the village and shake it and slap it on the bodies of women for fertility, which to me, that seems a little barbaric. So we're not going to go that direction. Another legend, which I kind of like this one because this one is sweet. It says an imprisoned Valentine actually sent his first Valentine greeting after he fell in love with a young girl who visited him during his confinement. Before that man's death, it was alleged that he wrote her letter signed "From Your Valentine." And that is an expression that we still use today. So Valentine would become one of the most popular saints in England and France because of all of this. So what does the actual Valentine's Day meaning mean to us now, you know, thousands of years later? Because they said it was declared February 14th in like 230, and we're now at 2024. So we're talking more than 2000 years. During the Middle Ages, it was commonly believed in France and England that February 14 was the beginning of birds' mating season, which added to the idea that the middle of Valentine's Day should be a day of romance. Valentine's greetings were popular as far back as the Middle Ages, though written Valentines didn't begin to appear until after 1400. The oldest known Valentine still in existence today was a poem written in 1415 by Charles, Duke of Orleans, to his wife while he was imprisoned in the Tower of London following his capture at the Battle of Agincourt. That greeting is now part of the manuscript collection of the British Library in London, England. So now fast forward to modern day, we know Valentine's as Cupid. So who is the naked little cherub? We know him as the naked little boy launching arrows. They could be gold or silver towards unsuspecting lovers and then creating this love bomb. But in actuality, the Roman god Cupid has his roots in Greek mythology as the Greek god of love, Eros. The story just keeps evolving. So in addition to the United States, Valentine's Day is celebrated in Canada, Mexico, the UK, France, and Australia. And then in Great Britain, Valentine's Day began to be popularly celebrated around the 17th century. So fast forward to the 1900s, printed cards began to replace written letters due to improvements in printing technology. Ready-made cards were an easy way for people to express their emotions in a time when direct expression of one's feelings was discouraged. We can all picture those cards when we were younger. They said, "Be mine, be my Valentine, Cupid's love." There were always those little cards that you could write to and from and stick a little piece of candy on it. We used to share them in grade school with everybody during that time. And then it was something that we always had fun doing. Americans probably began exchanging handmade Valentines in the early 1700s, though. In the 1840s, a lady named Esther A. Howland began selling the first mass-produced Valentines in America. Howland, known as the Mother of Valentine, made elaborate creations with real lace, real ribbon, and colorful pictures known as scrap. And so we can also picture those because our teachers had us make those for our parents during my grade school. I remember doing that where we go home and you have a big red heart or a pink heart and you had all the lace and the ribbon and glitter and heart and anything red, pinks, sometimes purple, just in all of those. In ending today, according to Hallmark, an estimated 145 million Valentine's Day cards are sent each year. That makes Valentine's Day the second largest card sending holiday of the year. What's your guess on the first? Yep, you got it. It's Christmas. I think we all knew that. We love to share our story of our families at the Christmas time with everyone as a little gift from ourselves. And ending today's podcast, I wanted to share what my favorite was. So I tried to pick an all-time favorite chocolate candy from this chocolate fest that I've been going through for the last week. And I think I still stay with my number one, and this is an ode to my children, the Ferrero Rocher. I love the hazelnut with the milk chocolate. But then as a kid, an Andes Mint was my favorite, and I loved it at a hotel when it was on the pillow, when they pulled down the pillow at the end of the day, and then there was a little Andes Mint. I loved to eat it, and I do love mint. So those two, as an adult, the Ferrero Rocher is my favorite because I don't think they made that when I was a kid. If they did, I never had it. And then the Andes Mint. So even though I love caramel and I love nuts and I love strawberries and all of that other stuff, those ended up just kind of standing out as my favorite. And I just wanted to say Andes Mints, their packaging, which if you want to see a picture of this, it will be on my website, robin@eatdrinkandbemerry.online. Their packaging had the two boxes of mints and it has a green background, because we all know Andes Mints have the green background, but it has a heart, and then in the heart it says Andes, meant to be together, and it's talking about the cream de mint thins and then the milk cookie crunch thins, and then it has two little pink hearts that say one heart has two and the other heart has from. And so they made their box of chocolates look like a Valentine's Day card, which I thought was a lot of fun, and kudos to them. So if you want to share your favorite Valentine candy with me, please let me know. You can email me, robin@eatdrinkandbemerry.online. I'd love to hear. And so that way we could do a non-biased poll of your favorite candy. And then, you know, we all love to receive flowers, Valentine cards, chocolates, or just be able to spend time and just give each other a moment of love and make it just a festive day. So at the end of the day, Valentine's Day is just a day to spread good cheer. So thank you for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, please follow Provisions and Libations wherever you listen to podcasts. I will be back next week with an all-new episode. I am your host, Robin Bogue. You can learn about me on my website, eatdrinkandbemerry.online, or my LinkedIn profile, Robin Bogue. I look forward to entertaining you, informing you, and enlightening you with the perfect accommodations for connoisseurs of provisions and libations with an Epicurean flair. But first, let's eat and drink.